The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayetze. The Parsha begins by telling us, Vayetze Yaakov Beershova Vayilech Chorono. Yaakov went from Beershova and he went to Choron. What is taking place? Previous parashas spoke about the birth of Yaakov and Esav, how they grew up. They went in different directions. And then when it came to the brachas, Yitzchok wanted to give the brachas to Esav. Rivka intervened. He ended up giving them to Yaakov. And Esav hated Yaakov because of this, because he had stolen his brachas, and before he had stolen his firstborn birthright. And he was planning on killing him. And therefore, Rivka, the mother, told Yaakov, you must leave until Esav forgets, his wrath cools down. And at the same time, he had to find a shidduch. So Yitzchok instructed Yaakov to go back to his house, his home, and there find a proper zivug, a proper shidduch. So therefore, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shova ve'yilech Choron. Yaakov left Be'er Shova, this is where they were living, and he went to Choron. And this is what this sedra speaks about. The Chazal, the sages, on this posuk say as follows. Rashi brings it in part. It's in the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Samaches, Siv Hei and Vov, Siv Vov. Bechili lo yotzu mishom elohu. Bahare kama chamorim and kama gamolim yotzu. Yaakov's the only one who left Be'er Shava. There were many trains of donkeys and many trains of camels that were led out of Be'er Shava. Be'at Omar v'yetzi Yaakov. So what is it telling us that Yaakov went out? Reb Zari b'shem Reb Yehuda bar Shimon Omar, b'zman sha'atzadik bo'ir, when a tzadik dwells in a city, hu zivo hu adora. He is the radiance, the shine of the city, and he is the beauty of the city. Yotze mishom, when he leaves, pono zivo pono do hadora. When he leaves, then the shine, the radiance, and the beauty leave with him. Udekavose, and then they bring another case similar to this. And this is in Rus. Perkale Posuk Zayin states, and Rus and Naomi, they had gone to the land of Moab. They left Eretz Yisrael. And there they lived for a number of years. She lived together with her husband Elimelech and his two sons, Mahlon and Bechilion. And great tragedy took place there. Elimelech died and Mahlon and Chilion died. Finally, Ruth and her mother-in-law decided that they're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So it states, Vateitzi min ha-mokom asher ha-yisro shoma. They went out of the place which they were in. V'chi la-yotzu min ha-mokom Elohi, v'arei kama chamorim v'kama gomolim yotzu. Again, the same question. Did they go out alone? Every day there were trains of camels and trains of donkeys going out. When there's a righteous person in the city, huzivo hu hadora. So that's the radiance of the city, that's the beauty of the city. Yotze mishom pono ziva pon hadora. Excuse me. When the tzaddik leaves the city, he forsakes the city, the radiance and the beauty go with him. Nicho de tamon la isa shomer la isa tzadekes bilvot. Then the Midrash says, we can understand why this is so over there. Because they were in a land of Moab. No, Moab was not a very righteous land. So, the only tzaddikim, the only righteous ones, were Naomi and Ruth. But here they lived in Beersheba. In Beersheba was Yitzchok, was Rivka. So why do we say that when the tzaddik leaves, when Yaakov left, the radiance and the beauty goes with him? There was still the radiance of Yitzchok and of Rivka. Zari b'shem Reb Shimon Omar, leidei meskusi shel tzadikecha leskusi shel shnei tzadikim. This is true, but you cannot compare the righteousness of one tzadik to the righteousness of two tzadikim. And therefore, every individual who is righteous and leaves a city, no matter how many he leaves behind, he is going to take with him something that city had while he was there. And an example would be if you have a menorah with many candles. You extinguish one, there's going to be less light, even though there are still candles burning. This is what the Midrash says here, and the Midrash says this over there also. The Maral in the Gurai explains the question that's bothering the Midrash is that it should not say at all by Yitzhak Yaakov. It's not important that he left Beersheba. What's important here is that he went to Choron. His purpose in leaving was not to leave Beersheba. That was not the purpose of the trip. If you have someone, the purpose of the trip was the destination. Then he was going to Choron. And he was there going to Choron to find a shidduch. So what is the purpose of it staying by Yetzeh? Trains are leaving all of the time. So the Torah must want to tell us something here. That when he left, it was different than when the trains were leaving. Because he took a good part of the city with him. Then, the Midrash brings Yotzeh Ziva, Yotzeh Hadorah. The radiance leaves, the beauty leaves. Rashi adds to it. Rashi says, Yotzeh Hoda, Yotzeh Ziva, Yotzeh Hadorah. He adds the word hod. Hoda is its praise. In the other Midrash, in Rush, there the Midrash adds more expressions. See, so this evidently was a nusach, a text that Rashi had. What do we need all of these expressions for? So the Gurai explains that when a tzaddik lives in a city, he gives basically three qualities to the city. Firstly, Yirei Shamayim. For example, when Avraham came to Abimelech, Melech Gror, in Plishtim, he said he saw that Ein Bamokam Azeh, he saw in this place there was no Yirei Shamayim. The tzaddik influences his surroundings with Yirei Shamayim, with the fear of Hashem, which means mitzvahs. If it's in a Jewish city, he influences Jews to keep their mitzvahs. If it's in a non-Jewish city, he influences them to keep their mitzvahs. They shouldn't steal, they shouldn't kill, they shouldn't commit idolatry, they should live in decency. They shouldn't serve Avodah Zarah. Secondly, what does the tzaddik do? He brings wisdom to the city. Good thinking, foresight, Ezel Chochem Areyas Anelid. Chochem has the ability of foresight and counsel. Thirdly, he brings Midas Teves with their heads. Good Midas, good qualities, and their heads. They see how a tzaddik lives. He's like the Gemara brings. He's polite. He speaks, he's a gentleman. He speaks nicely to people. He doesn't shout at people. He dresses nicely. He walks nicely, like the Gemara says in Masechta Yuma. He eats nicely. He has derech eretz, and he has midas tevis. He's forgiving. He doesn't insult people. He's compassionate. He's honest, and so forth. This all influences the surroundings. Now, so the Gorais, we are referring to these three qualities. Yirshamayim, this is referred to as hold, praise. When the Novi, the prophet, said, Al Yisalel HaChochem B'Chokmosoi, a person who was very, very intelligent, he shouldn't praise himself because he's so brilliant. And the one who's physically very strong, he shouldn't praise himself because he's so strong. The one who's very wealthy should not praise himself because of his wealth. What should a person praise himself? And his yiras Hashem, that he fears. He knows Hashem, he fears Hashem. So we see that the fear of Hashem is something of a praise. Same thing it states in Eish Yischayel. Shekerachein vehevel ayefi. Don't praise yourself on your charm. Don't praise yourself on your beauty. Isha yiras Hashem hitisalom. Praise yourself on yiras Hashem. So therefore, this is what it states. When the tzaddik leaves the city, the praise leaves with him. This is Yotzo Hodo. Wisdom is referred to as a light all of the time. We grope in the dark. That's an expression for one who is confused. When we see a way, it's a light. It's a light at the end of a dark tunnel. So wisdom is always referred to as a light. That's the Ziv. Ziv is a shine, a radiance. Actually, it states that the Chochem, Chochma, the wisdom of a person shows forth on the shine of his face. So therefore, when Yaakov went out, not only he went out, but Yotzo Zivo, the light of the city, went out from the lack of his wisdom. And then thirdly, the Midas Teves and the Derech Eretz. The qualities of a person in his dealings with people and his Derech Eretz, that is known as something which is beautiful. We look at mannerisms and we say it's very beautiful. Yiddish is an expression, shein. And that is known as a shvach and a tiferes. When Rabbi Yehuda Nosi wrote the Mishnah, Eiz derech sheyuvale ha'odom, what is a good way that a person should choose for himself? And there he was giving Musar. He was telling a person the Midas Teves and the Derech Eretz. He wrote a Derech which is a Tiferes Lei, Tiferes Le'eseha, and Tiferes Le'min Odom, which is both a beauty to himself. He sees as a beautiful way, and people will see it as a beautiful way. So these are the three qualities. When Yaakov went out, the praise of the city went out. This is the Yira Shamayim. The light of the city went out with him. This was the wisdom. And the Teferis, the Shvach, the beauty, went out with him. This was Yaakov's Derech Eretz and Midas Tevis. Actually, yeah, the Gurai adds, actually we have another similarity to this whole concept, and that is, a few weeks ago in Parshas Chayisora, we learned about Hevron. Sora died in Hevron. He carried Hevron, carried Arbi, he Hevron. And Avram came, Vayavai Avraham, and there he eulogized her and he buried her in Hevron, in Moris Machpelah. The Medrash explains why it's called Kiryas Arba. It goes into many interpretations, but does not explain why the city was called Hevron. There's a Meforish in the Medrash called the Matnas Kohuna, and he brings in the name of Rashi, who says it was called Hevron because Avraham lived there. And Avraham was a chover teiv lamokum. And Avraham was considered, it was from the word chaver, he was a good friend to the place. Where Avraham lived, he was a very good friend to the people. He was a good man to have. And that's why it was called Hebron. So this is in a similar vein. Now, we might think that this is true when a renown, a great tzaddik leaves the city, like Yaakov. The Gurai says no, this is true on any righteous person. He says that's why the Medrash tells us this in two places. If it was said only by Yaakov, so then I would have said that's only when someone like Yaakov leaves the city, who was as righteous as Yaakov. But anyone else, not so. That's why it tells us even by other tzaddikim, Naomi and Ruth. They ask the questions the contrary, so why didn't it just tell us over there, and what does it have to say here? The Torah here says Vayetze, and there it writes Vatetze. Because there I would have said, only in that case, because there were no other tzaddikim there, so they left the place barren. But here where you leave other tzaddikim behind, not so, the mashmalon. So in both cases. So therefore this applies to a city even though it's full of tzaddikim and only one leaves. And this applies to all tzaddikim. All of people who do good, when they leave, they do not say you're not going to affect the community, not going to affect the city. Not true. You will take a lot with you. Now, we can ask a question. Just excuse me for 1 second. We can ask a question. Why is it that the Torah wanted to teach us this? Wanted to teach us these principles. That's why he wrote by Yetzi Yaakov Mir Beersheva. Otherwise, it's not necessary to tell us he left Beersheva. It's necessary to tell us where he was going. Why did the Torah teach us this here? By Yaakov. Tzaddikim left cities before Yaakov. Avraham left. Avraham many times left. Yitzchak left the city, traveled. So why didn't the Torah tell us this principle before? Why does it start with Yaakov? It's a worthy question. We can give a good answer. It is true, like we said, this applies to all tzaddikim. But we could say that there was no one that it could apply by more than Yaakov. And especially, it could apply by no one before Yaakov, as it could apply by Yaakov. And why is that? For this we'll have to understand just what Yaakov represented. The Torah states that Yaakov was Ish Tam Yeshiva Olim. He was a person, Tam, of Tam, who dwelled in the tents. The Chazal say Tam, the Targum say Shalem, a person of totality, of oneness, of uprightness, innocence, who dwelled in the tents of Torah, of Shem Ve'Ever. Actually, the Chazal tell us that from the time he left Beersheba till he came to the episode of the dream of the ladder, he went to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever and stayed there for 14 years, studying day and night. Now, this that it states, this that it states, that he was a person of Tam, Tamimus, which means Sholem Gansh. These sages explain a little more, and Rashi brings it. Shelo hoya echod bepeh ve'echod belev. He didn't speak one way with his mouth, but in his heart he was thinking another way. Shelo hoya piv shovel elibay. His mouth and his heart said one thing. What does this have to do with? He was one. In English, we call that duplicity. He was not a man of duplicity. He was one. Actually, the Maral writes in a place that the quality of Hanifa, to flatter, false flattery, is a terrible quality. And the Gemara says that they are one of the groups that will not be received by the Shekhinah, because they are totally an antithesis to Hashem. The Maral explains why. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one and they are two. False flatterer. He's a person of duplicity. He's two. He's divided. Talks one way and conspires another way. And this is an antithesis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's one. So here the Chazal tell us that Tam Tamimus Sholem means one and not two. And Yaakov was the pinnacle, the apex of oneness. This we see, for example, in the Gemara in Psochim. We all know very well, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Shema, it's written in the Torah. Moshe wrote it in the Torah. But the Chazal tell us that it was from before Moshe's time. It was what the Yud Beis Shvatim, the 12 sons of Yaakov, said to their father. They told their father, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that just like Hashem is one by you, He's also one by us. You can trust us. Because just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was one, he had the uniqueness of Achdus, of Echad, by you. That same uniqueness is by us. We see this oneness in Yaakov by his 12 sons. Kulanu b'nei ish echad nachnu. they told, when they went down to Egypt and they told Yosef, who they thought was the king, viceroy, we were all 12 of us are the sons of one person. Now, the simple sense, they meant we're all from one father. But there's a fuller meaning in that. We're all from one father, and we are all like our father. Not, in the Chazal tell us, Leika Abraham Avinu, not like Abraham. Abraham couldn't say that. Abraham had two sons that were contrary to each other. Abraham was divided. From Abraham came out of Yitzchak and came out of Yishmael that wanted to destroy him. Came out Yitzchak, that from him was to come a nation of Israel, but came out a Yishmael. From Abraham, from Abraham came out a Yitzchak, that from him was eventually to come out of Bnei Israel, but from the same Abraham came out a Yishmael, an enormous nation of Yishmael, from the same person. And how great Abraham was, the Chazal say, this was a weakness in Abraham. This was a lack in his perfection, that from him could come a nation which was contrary to Israel. From Yitzchak, the same problem. Came out of Yaakov, the greatest of all, but at the same time came out an Esav that wanted to kill him, and where his seed would be the arch enemies of Yaakov's seed. This was a division in Yitzchak, a lack of the perfection in Yitzchak. There's a Gemara that states in the world to come, there'll be a big Suda, a big feast, after everyone eats. So they'll wonder who should they be mechabed with the benching. And Avraham and Yitzchak will disqualify themselves. So we are not perfect. From Yaakov came out 12 sons. Kulanu b'nei ish echor nachtu. We are all from one father. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was one by him, he is also one by us. States kulam tzadikim. The fact is that's what Yaakov asked for. As he came to the Mokom, to this place, and he went to sleep, and he got up after his dream. So it says, Vayida Yaakov Dede Lemor, Yaakov took Medorim, he took vows. And he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for some things. So amongst the things he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, Vohoya Hashem Li Leilakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be for me a Lord. This is Pasuk Chof Aleph. What does it mean? Vohoya Hashem Li Leilakim. So Rashi brings, Sheyichol Shmei Olai Mitchila V'Atzeif. That Hashem's name should be on me in totality. Not partially like by Abraham. And not partially like by Yitzchak, but in totality. Shalei Motzei Psul Bizari. That there should be no fault in my seed. And this is what is known as the great attribute of Yaakov, Semitose Shlema, that his seed was one. Now, immediately after he asked for that brocho, it states, "For Evan Azesa Shesamti Matseva Yir Beisalakim." This Evan, this stone, will become Beisalakim. There should be a monument, and the Beis Hamikdash will be built there. What stone are we speaking about? What stone? States when he woke up, Ayikach as Evan, Asher Somer Ashesa. When he woke up, he took the stone which he placed under his head. But what stone? There's no stone that's spoken about before. Now, before it states, when he went to sleep there, it says, Vayikach me avne hamokum, Vayosimer Ashesa. He didn't take a stone and put it under his head. He gathered stones, many stones, and put it under his head. So the Medrash and this pasuk ask what's happening. It's a Medrash here on Oshud Aleph. Vayikach me avne amokum. Before we're talking about many stones, now we're talking about one stone. How many were before? Some say there were 12 stones. Others say there were 3 stones. Others say there were 2 stones. But all agree that from the 12 or from the 3 or from the 2, in the morning there was only one. In the morning there was only one. Now, Mitch says what? The one that says there were 12. Yaakov took 12 stones and he says, if I'm Zeicher, I will have the 12 sons. He knew that to build Yisrael, it will take 12 pillars, 12 sons. If I'm Zeicher, I will have the 12 sons. But they must be sons not like Abraham and not like Yitzchak. But they must be one. And the 12 stones in the morning turned into one stone. Vayikach Evan. And that Evan became the foundation for the Beis Hamikdash. Others say, no, it was not 12. It was 3. 3 stones he took. And what would the 3 represent? The 3 represented the keches of Abraham, the keches of Yitzchak, and his force. But not that they should be 3 forces, but they should be 1. And others said he took 2 stones. And what did the 2 stones represent? He said like this. One stone represented Abraham, and the other stone represented Yitzchak. He says, I am building. Yaakov became what was known as the Bechira Ovis, the most perfect of all of the Ovis. But how is it that he could be greater than Abraham? Abraham was Bereshis Bora Bishvil Abraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world because of the Zkus of Abraham. The Teretz is, the answer is, he was greater. The final product. But we can't say he was greater than Abraham because he built on Abraham. It's like we have a lot of our great scientists and mathematicians today that praise themselves how great they are. But meanwhile, take away Tom Edison and see how far they would have gotten with the computer. They'd still be rubbing sticks together. See? Now, he said, I'm taking the attributes of Avraham, and I'm taking the attributes of Yitzchok. Avraham was the great Abu Ra'avo in Chesed, the pillar of love in Chesed. Yitzchok was the great pillar of Din, to fear Hashem. So I'm going to take those two stones from Avraham and from Yitzchok. My job in this world is to take those two and make one out of them. If I don't succeed, then I have failed in my task in this world. If I do succeed, there will be a Klal Yisrael. And then the Medrash goes further. Medrash says like this. He says, Rabbonin Amri Miyud Avonim Shnayim. We can only say there were two stones, because it says stones, so we have to take the minimum of the plural. So he's taking Avraham's and from Yitzchok. These are the two stones. But he said, Avraham's force was not perfect, because Yotze Mimenu Yishmael, from Avraham came the imperfection of Yishmael, and all of the Bnei Keturah, and all of the descendants from Hogar. From Yitzchok was not perfect. From him came Esav, the Chol Alufav, and all of his empires. Edom, Rome, Amalek. Im animis achais beis avonim zulezu. If I can take these two stones, the powers of Avraham and the powers of Yitzchok, and perfect it into one, then I will know that my children will be perfect. When he woke up and there was one stone, he knew that his prayers were answered. This is the Yaakov Ishtam Sholim. This is what Yaakov achieved, that the other Oves did not achieve. Again, he built on their shoulders, but this is what he achieved. This is why the Chazal tell us, it states that when Moshe built the Mishkan, this stone, it states, was the Mokam HaMikdosh, the place where the Beis HaMikdosh would be built. But when Moshe in the desert built the Mishkan before it came to Yerushalayim, Harabais, see, he built all of the beams, the upright beams which formed the basic structure of the Mishkan. And how did he hold it together? He held it together by running. he ran staves from one beam to the other to hold the sections together. But then there was one stave which didn't hold a section together, but went around the entire Mishkan to hold the whole Mishkan together. That was called the Briah HaTichon. The Chazal say, Zu Yaakov. This was Yaakov. What do you mean, Zu Yaakov? It was in his power that the Mishkan became one. And this has to do with what we're talking about. Actually, we do find that there was a slight flaw in Yaakov's children. Even though it states in Parshas Pinchas, they're all counted, and each one, Shimon, Hashimoni, is given a hey and a yud. Reuben is given Haruveni, a hey and a yud. It states Hashem placed a hey and a yud on everyone to show that they were all like Yaakov. There is a slight flaw. What is that slight flaw? We find that there was chiluk halavaves. There was dissension between the Shvatim. They were divided between Malchi Yehuda and Malchi Yisrael. Those from Yehuda and those from Yisrael. There was a slight flaw. It wasn't to the point, heaven forbid, of Yishmael and Yitzchok, or Esav and Yaakov, but there was that slight flaw. And the Maral asks why. And the reason was is because they came from different mothers. That fault was drawn along the line of the mothers. There was those that came from Leah, and there were those that came from Rachel. It was Yosef, Ephraim, and Manasseh, Binyamin. And he said that oneness could not be perfect if they came from Dalet Imos, four mothers, or two mothers with their maidservants. So therefore that oneness could not be perfect. So then he asked the question, Sim Cain, why was that necessary? Mitzad Yaakov, from Yaakov's aspect, they were one, a perfection of oneness. So then he should have had one wife. She answers that how enormously great they were, his wives, there was no one wife that could give birth to all of the 12 tribes, to all of the 12 sons. And therefore he had to build the house of Israel from Rachel and Leah, Shemishtehem, from both of them was built the house of Israel. Now, what does this oneness mean? What it means is as follows. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he created two worlds. He created a physical world, and he created a non-physical world, a spiritual world. This world, the next world. An olam ha-tachton, an olam ha-elyon. A lower world, the higher world. It states that he created them with the letters of his name. Ki b'koh Hashem tzur elomim. With the yud and the hey, he created the worlds. These worlds are totally contradictory and conflicting to each other. One is physical and one is non-physical. They conflict in multitudes of ways. When he created this world, it states really he created this world with a dalet. The dalet represents a horizontal and vertical line, which represents space, mass, matter. And this world is a world of matter, where there's dimension. And the next world he created with a yud. The yud is the letter which represents something which has no mass in it, no matter. It's just a dot. Now, when he created this world with a dalet, he made it into a hay. States this world he created with a hay. What is the difference between a dalet and a hay? A dalet is a dalet, it has a vertical and a horizontal, with a yud. You put a yud under the vertical and you get a hay. That's what a hay is, a dalet and a yud. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want two worlds, he wanted one world. He didn't want to create two worlds. He wanted one world with a oneness that harmonizes and works in perfection with each other. And this is the Chazal in Ovis that states, Olam Hazer, this world is like the antechamber. The next world is Tzaklin, is the palace. The antechamber is one entity, the palace is another, but together they make one entity. There cannot be a palace without an antechamber. But an antechamber without a palace is also useless. Together they make one perfection, one unity. And that's why he took the yud, which represented the next world, and he attached it to the dalet, which represents this world, and made it into hay in order that it should be joined. This joining of the two worlds, this mixing of the two worlds, of the Gashmi and the Bilti Gashmi, what is physical and what is non-physical, this, it took a genius, a giant like Yaakov, to bring to the world. This never existed before. This is Abraham laid the first foundation. Yitzchak laid the second. But the one who perfected this was Yaakov. And this is what is meant by Yaakov's oneness. Now actually, this is the dream that he had. What did he dream? He dreamt that there was a sulam, a ladder, mutzav alzo. Its base was on the earth, v'reishim magia shemayma, and it went into the heavens. This ladder was joining the two worlds together. And he had gone to sleep bringing these stones together with a tefillah to Hashem that he should be able, he prayed that he should have the success to make one out of the many stones. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him that as he's going to make one out of the many stones, he's going to make one also out of the two worlds. There will be a ladder that will join both worlds together. It's interesting that it came out in the Mokam HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And he said, Einzel Beis Elokim Bezeh Shara Shomayim. This is the house of Hashem, and this is the gate to heaven. Rashi brings, what does that mean? Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala Mechuvan Keneged Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata. That there's a Beis HaMikdash here, and right above it is the Beis HaMikdash, the spiritual Beis HaMikdash. This is the Chibor. This is the place where the two worlds join. Why is it the place where the two worlds join? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu joins the physical world to the spiritual world by bringing his presence down to the physical world. When he brings his presence down to this physical world, that he elevates it and joins the two worlds together. That's his Shechina. Where's his dwelling place? The word Shekhinah comes from the word to be Shechin, Mishkon. Where's his dwelling place? Mishochamdi b'seichom. In the place of the Beis HaMikdash. He comes from the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala, and he comes down to the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata, the higher Beis HaMikdash, the lower sanctuary. And here he joins the two worlds. And this is what Yaakov saw in his dream. He woke up and then he realized what had taken place, and all of these stones became one stone. He says he dedicates this, should become the place of the Mikdash. What does this mean in practical sense? This is the quality of Torah. A man is faced with two alternatives. He could become lost in this world. He could drown in this world. He could sink in this world. Pursue all of the physical lusts and desires of this world. The wealth and the physical powers. This was Esav. Or he could divorce himself from this world. He could divorce himself from this world. He could live what many would refer to as a very saintly life and abstain from this world. He could fast. He could abstain from any type of alcoholic drink. He could abstain from marriage, like many of the leaders of other religions have done so. He could withdraw from society, live in the forests, or on the mountains, or on Everest, and so on. So he has these two alternatives. And humanity has grappled with this since creation. They never came to a solution. Yaakov taught the world the solution, and through his 12 sons. He says, both drochim, both ways. Aderech rohi mi'od, are evil ways. The Rambam writes on both drachim. Derech rahi mi'od. One is the way of the glutton. The other is the way, he says, of the kobrim, of the galochim, of the false prophets. And it's not the way of the Torah. So what is the way of the Torah? The way of the Torah is the dream, the way that Yaakov saw the dream. That a person has to be standing in this world, and he has to live in this world, and he has to use this world, but he has to, his head and shoulders in the next world. He has to join the two worlds into one world. And this is what the power of Torah gives the world. There are many philosophies. Rambam brings those philosophies that said, you're here, make use of this world. Eat, the Rambam brings, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you might not be here. That was one philosophy. There's another philosophy, that anything in this world is evil. Divorce yourself from it. That's the only way to attain righteousness and greatness. What does the Torah prescribe? Neither. The Torah said, heaven forbid a person should become a shikar, he should become a drunkard. Heaven forbid. But he should take wine and make kiddush on it. Take wine and sanctify it. Take wine and fulfill a mitzvah with it. V'samachta b'chagecha and simcha l'b'yayin. Take wine and use it for the sacrifices to Hashem. Heaven forbid a person should become a glutton. So you shouldn't eat? No. The greatest mitzvahs to a person to keep his health up. The Rambam says, "Umidarki Hashem." This is the way to Hashem. To be strong and healthy so you can serve Him. You must eat what the body needs. So you should eat everything that the body needs, but nothing that the body doesn't need. Everything that's healthy and that's nourishing, but nothing that's not. When it comes, you have those who had a harem of 1,000 wives, then you had those that lived in isolation and never married. The Torah said both ways are derech ro. Get married. Build a home. Bring children into the world. That'll serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And so on and so on. The whole Torah's direction is how to take both worlds and make one out of them. The fact is, the Gemara brings that this was the purpose why the Torah came here. Because when Moshe went up on the mount to receive the Torah, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, in Perek Omer Rabbi Kiva, the Malachim, the angels, came and said, what business does the Torah have to go down to that rotten world? They said, Chem de Ganuza, your most sacred treasure that was created 900 over 900 generations before the creation of the world, and you're sending it down there. This is what the angel said to Hashem. Down there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said it should stay with us. Belongs there on top of the mountain. Belongs on top of Everest. So Hashem told Moshe, he said, hey Shivlehem, answer them. So Moshe said, they wanted to kill Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to protect him. So Moshe said, what do you need the Torah for? Maxiba, what's written in the Torah? He asked the angels. The angel said, you shouldn't kill him. He says, do you have hatred? Do you have revenge? What do you need that for? He says, again, what else is written? Shouldn't commit adultery. He says, you have women up here. You have desires. What else is written? Shouldn't steal. He says, you have money up here. Moshe showed them that the Torah is entirely irrelevant there. And finally they agreed. The Torah was made to elevate this world to the next world. If you're going to divorce it from this world, we don't need it. And many times we have, you know, your philosophical movements swing like the pendulum. You'll see that the world goes through conservatism. Then it'll go to an extreme. So from there we'll start the liberal movement. Then it goes to an extreme. Then it'll go to something else. It'll go to nationalism, to fascism, and so forth and so on. Communism, socialism. Now we're entering an era of free market. Yeah, see. So many people, they want to know, what's the Torah? What does the Torah prescribe? Does it prescribe socialism, communism, free market, conservatism, liberalism? What does it prescribe? That's a question you cannot answer with a label. Why? Because it prescribes everything. Everything. The Torah is full of free market. All of Cheshen Mishpat is free market. Zealously protects free market. At the same time, it demands, not doesn't ask, it demands social responsibility. Nora brings that there's many cases where wealthy people didn't want to give enough tzedakah and there was a need for the poor. They brought them to the Beis Din and they wouldn't give. They tied them to the post and beat them. Corporal punishment until they gave. They said, you are sitting on all that money and others are starving. Right? Torah is full of that. It comes out that the Torah has enormous liberal policies, enormous conservative policies. In the Mishnah in Ovis, it states that you need 48 qualities to acquire Torah. So three that are mentioned is Eivas HaMeshorim, you should love what's upright, Eivas HaTzdokes, you should love charity, Eivas HaTeichoches, you should love rebuke. So the Maral says, what are we speaking about? He says, because you have on the pendulum 3 points. You have an illiberal extreme, which is stokos. You must be charitable. You must give from yourself for nothing. You have on the other extreme teichoches. Teichoches is rebuke. That's the iron fist. The iron fist. The iron fist of the police, the iron fist of the government. And you have in the middle, Ohe Meshorim. Meshorim is what justice, what the law demands. Nothing more and nothing less. He says, if a person can only identify with charity, he will not acquire Torah. Because the Torah is full of rebuke. There's Dalet Mises Beis Din. Beis Din has four types of capital punishments and corporal punishments. And it's full of the law. This is the law, and the law must be kept. Nothing more, nothing less. If a person can only identify with the iron fist, he will not acquire Torah. Because what's he going to do with all of the mitzvahs that deal with charity? And if a person can qualify with those two, but never with what the law demands, he will not be able to acquire Torah. The Torah is made up of all of these. Except, we have to know when to use them, when to apply them. And that we have from Sinai, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When must we be charitable? When must we go in accordance to the exactness of the law? When must we be tough? So that's why you can't answer if the Torah is liberal, this or that. It's all encompassing, and that's why it says, Afeich be'afeich bo de kula bo. Spend all your days in it, because everything is in it, except the key is the application to it. This is the oneness which encompasses everything. This morning I was on the way to a bris, so I turned on the radio, car radio, and there was a talk show, and they had Tony Leung from the Democratic Party, and they are launching a new comprehensive plan. Well, they're proposing a new comprehensive plan to combat crime in the country, which they feel is the problem which is destroying the country unless it will be controlled. And they said so far the proposals have been accepted very, very greatly by all of the political parties, including President Mandela. So how have I it should work. So they were interviewing him on it. So he said one of the proposals was a hijacker gets 20 years in jail, not a day less. Under no circumstances does he come out less. Except we don't want to tie the hands of the judge, because sometimes there's an exception. So a judge can choose to give him a lighter sentence, but in such case he has to justify his reasons, justify his decision to the court. Then he was talking about life imprisonment. I didn't hear it all, but it seemed to say that he was saying the murderers get life imprisonment, not a day less. In other words, they'll never see the light of day, and so on. So the announcer asked, he says, Mr. Leon, he says, aren't you guys the liberals? You're coming in with things like that? He answered very good. He says, we are the liberals, and we're doing this to protect the rights of the liberals. He says, there are no rights left for the liberals. We've given all the rights to the criminals. What about the liberal rights of the victims? He says, we are the liberals. And that's why we have to do this. So even the extreme liberals, I mean, anyone with any balance and any seichel can understand that. It's very nice to be liberal. And then you won't have any liberals left. Because they'll eat up each other, they'll take away the liberal rights of each other. When the Torah comes with the iron fist, it's to protect the rights of the liberals. Why are they giving the murderer death? Because that murderer now has taken away all of the rights, not only the liberal rights, but all of the rights of the victim. And he will continue to do so until you do something to stop him. And so on and so on. Now, this is the achievement of Yaakov. I once heard from Bechinit a number of times, from Aaron Soloveitchik. He should be well and strong. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik is the grandson of the great Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker. He was the son of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik. And he said that when Yitzchak gave brachas to Yaakov, he said as follows: "Vayiten locha elakim mitala shemaim umishmani oretz." This was in Parshas Toldos. Posukhov ches, perechov zayin posukhes. "Vayiten locha elakim mitala shemaim umishmani oretz." Hakadosh Baruch Hu should give you from the dew of the heaven and the fat of the land. The dew of the heaven represents the spiritual. The fat of the land represents the physical. So he gave both to Yaakov. Later on, when Esau came from the four brachos, so he said a little differently. He said, this is in Pasuk Lamedtes, "Vayan Yitzchok Ovi Vayeme Elov, Hine Mishmani Oretz Yemeshovecho." Your seat, your dwelling place, your home will be in the fat of the land. "Umitala Shomayim Ol," and you will also have from the dew of the heaven above you. What's the difference? He says Esav can't handle both worlds. He lives in this world. He lives in the physical world. This is his home. It's like you see it's interesting, there's what is known as the sea lion. The sea lion, what do we call the sea lion? The seal. Not the seal.
The walrus. The walrus. Yeah. I once saw a picture that the walruses were all sitting, sunning themselves on the rock, and a helicopter flew over, and one by one they all dove into the water. They moved slowly, so they slowly, one by one, got up, and each one dove into the water. There's a Mishnah that says that the sea lion has a din, halacha of a fish, even though he spends a lot of time on the land. So you could clear a shaila, what kind of halacha? Does he have a halacha of a fish or a halacha of a animal, land animal? And it has differences in halacha in regards to tuma v'tara. So it says no, he has a law of a fish, because when in danger he runs away from the earth and goes into the sea. I saw the gift of one spring from the Tzodek HaKain, from Rublin. He says from here we see that a person, when he's in danger, when he's in stress, that brings out his real colors. So if you want to know a person's real colors, you have to see how he acts under stress. When the sun is out and they're sunning themselves, they were peacefully on the rocks. When this helicopter came over and made all that noise, one after the other, they all headed for the sea. Esav, he says, now, your home is here. Mishmani oretz yer meshavecho. This is your home. Tala shemayim me'ol. You can have some tal. You can have some spirit in your life also. But that's going to be above you. He says that's like someone who his spiritual life is limited to Sundays. Sunday morning. That's his spiritual life. He'll dress up. He'll go to his house of prayer. He comes home, he undresses, puts on his regular clothes, finished. That's the end of his spiritual life. He comes back to his natural habitat. So therefore, this is the bracha he gave Esav. He says, this is you, what can I do? He said, Hinei mishman ha'aretz yeh meshavecho, your land will be the fat of the land, mital ha'shamayim me'ol. The spirit is always going to be above you. Sometimes you can stretch for it, but you'll fall back, like the walrus will fall back into the water. Yaakov, he said, no difference. Where's your home? You're at home, whether it has to do in the spiritual world or the physical world, it's the same thing to you. And this is the truth. You take someone who fulfills the Torah, by him there's no difference between the mitzvah of drinking wine or the mitzvah of not drinking wine. Shabbos is a mitzvah to drink the wine. It's a mitzvah. During the 9 days we don't drink wine. It's a mitzvah. Is there a difference to them? What's the difference? You take an idolater. You take a heathen. Ask them if there's a difference between drinking the wine and not drinking the wine. This is the difference. And this is what Yaakov brought to the world. This oneness, which he perfected through the achievements of Avraham and Yitzchak. Now, what does this have to do with the question we asked? We asked the question that Avraham had left many places, and Yitzchak had left many places. Yet the Torah wanted to teach us that this concept, that when a tzaddik leaves a city, he takes with him many, many great things that he had implanted in the city. It taught us with Yaakov. Why didn't it teach us before? Because Yaakov was the one that this concept reached greater magnitude than anyone before him. Because the people before him could not identify with a physical city the way Yaakov could. Nobody could reach out for tzidkis, for righteousness, be a tzaddik, and at the same time be able to influence this in a physical city unless he could live in both worlds. And the one who perfected the living in both worlds was Yaakov. Abraham, with all of his greatness and all of his wisdom, had not brought the two worlds into one yet. And the same with Yitzchok. Yaakov is the one that brought them both together. And therefore, when Yaakov lived in a city, the full influence of the Reishim Mishamayim, where his head was in the heavens, was brought into the streets of the city. And therefore, when he left, Yotza, Hoda, the praise of the city left, Yotza, Zivo, the wisdom of the city left, the Yerushalayim left, the wisdom of the city left, Yotza Shfocho, and the beauty of the city left. Therefore, the Torah comes to teach us this principle by Yaakov. And from here we see what Yaakov brought to the world, and this is the heir, this is the inheritance, the heritage of the children of Klal Yisrael. This is their task, yeah, to carry this on in the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.